Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
And here he is, our man, John Perillo. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you doing, Bob?
Great. By the way, Mary Regina may have cleared this up. We're agreeing with our listener, but not completely agreeing. Monday, December 8th is the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
That's, correct.
That is the celebration for today. I think I disagree with the listener on a minor point, but a major point, but I disagree with him on the point, but we're on the same page overall. Yeah.
That's good. I was Googling as you were talking about that to make sure I had it right myself.
Yeah. Uh-oh. And I learned that, I can't even remember when, probably in prison when you had time to think about these things, that it related to Mary's Immaculate Conception. And freedom from original sin, not Jesus's.
Right, absolutely. And at some point we'll have to get into the Marian doctrine of the Catholic Church because it's fascinating. Yeah. And I did think I owe to you and your listeners kind of a review of the law of the sea and the rules of armed conflict as they apply to what's going on off the shores of Venezuela.
Yes, please.
And to begin with, there are laws of armed conflict, and there are also laws of the sea, and they're not the same. And you can Google the laws of the sea today because they've been formalized, but the actual laws of the sea started as a tradition that goes back centuries. And it's really hard to imagine the purpose of those traditions or how sacred they are if you haven't actually been to sea. And, sailing and being in a boat offshore is an experience like absolutely no other I've ever had. And that's because it's an isolation like no other. And everywhere you look when you're on land, there's some option for safety if you know what you're doing, no matter how bad the weather is or what's going on, right? A reasonably fit person can walk 50 miles or more if they have water in order to reach safety. It might not be comfortable, but you can do it. But when you're on the ocean, there's nothing. And I remember jumping off a boat and swimming about 30 miles offshore. And I was a really good swimmer back then. But there's something that really focuses the mind when you realize that there's no bottom for thousands of feet and no shore that you could possibly reach on your own and animals that would view you as a nice snack. Yeah. Right. And of course, when I did that, the weather was calm and warm. But if that boat had drifted away faster than I could swim, which wouldn't have required that much wind, or if it's stormy and you get swept off your boat or it sinks, you can't see more than maybe 20 feet until the next wave comes, and then you see about a quarter mile at the top of the wave until you get dumped in a trough, and then you can't see anything again. And what that means is that nobody can see you either. And no matter how long you've been at sailing or how good a swimmer you are, everyone who goes to sea thinks about the possibility of that happening. So the rules of the sea have always included that you make all reasonable attempts to rescue people who are shipwrecked, period. And the payback for that is knowing that everyone will make the same effort for you. And the laws are so ingrained that when the Germans first used submarines, the British were reluctant to build their own because when a sub sinks a ship, there's no room on the sub for survivors. And that offended the British naval sensibilities, right? They didn't want to be responsible for leaving survivors to bob up and down until they got eaten or died of hypothermia if it was cold or dehydration if it was hot. So that's the background on the law of the sea, right? Now, the rules of armed conflict are different. And when there was any chance that some badly damaged Japanese cruiser might be salvaged and towed back to Japan for repairs, we torpedoed it until it sunk. And I guarantee you that Admiral Nimitz didn't have to give a direct order to double tap a ship, even if there were survivors still aboard.
Right? I love people talking about this, that you could tell have no clue, these politicians, they have no clue what they're talking about. Double tapping.
Wait till I'm done, because you might not agree with everything right here. So if a machine gun emplacement on Iwo Jima stops firing, that didn't mean that the Marines wouldn't throw grenades in the hole to ensure that nothing came out. Same with a window in Fallujah or some mud hut in Afghanistan. And if you think that that's an ugly way to fight, well, you're right. War is ugly. Now, all of that changes if a ship strikes her colors, hauls down her flag, or surrenders, or if a soldier in a foxhole comes up with their hands up. In that case, the rules of war are that you cannot kill them. And all those rules are written in a different time, and the violation of those rules made warfare even more horrendous than it already was. And always remember that things like the Geneva Conventions only apply to countries that have signed onto the treaty and only to uniformed combatants. And that's why spies get shot. They aren't in uniform. So that's the background on the rules, right? The issue for our current example of drug boats is that there is no flag of surrender because the boats in question aren't military boats. There are no colors to strike because some drug lord doesn't fly a flag. So while it's true that the damaged boat could be repaired and still deliver drugs again, the reason that it couldn't be sunk is because neither the damaged boat nor the intact boat represents a military threat, so the rules of armed conflict don't apply. And with all due respect to the congressman in the clip before my piece, the president's authority to use the military without congressional approval is constitutionally limited to attacks on U.S. territory or its military. And even if you want to argue that we are being attacked, his authority is time-bound, and we're well beyond those limits. And yes, other presidents have ignored this law in that regard, and they were also wrong. And here we get into language, because as listeners to my piece, though, language really matters to me. Are we really at a war with drugs? Are drug runners really terrorists? And look, let's agree that the importation of drugs into the U.S. is a horrible thing, but it's not a war, or we better hope it's not, because then I'd hate to see what a war on poverty looks like, right? And why? And that's part of the reason why I despise the misuse of the word war. If you want a war, fine, but nothing I have seen regarding drugs or poverty or illiteracy or anything else qualifies to call them a war, thankfully, right? The reason why narco dealers try to get drugs into the U.S. is because people in the U.S. buy them. You'll never get rid of drugs being trafficked without addressing demand, and I'm back to the example that we have for some reason decided that having people crawling around on their hands and knees in Colorado towns is free speech, and we can't restrict these people for either their or somebody else's safety, right? Unlike war, nobody buys a war, but somebody's buying all these drugs that were in those boats. So we're not at war, and the rules of war don't apply. Now, all that said, there are some very good reasons to want to overthrow the Maduro regime in Venezuela. They are a threat to our national security, particularly by their ability to restrict access to the Panama Canal. It wouldn't take an advanced military, and they're not, to damage that major shipping transit point. And they are what I would call kind of a new Cuba, right? They're inviting countries that have an interest in weakening the U.S. to join them. So they're, you know, like loosely allied with China and Iran and Russia and you name it. And all those countries have advisors in Venezuela. And they do use narcotics to finance their government operations. You know, drug running isn't just something that happens in Venezuela. It's something that they want to happen, right? So where does that leave us? Right? And listeners here probably already know the answer since it's me. There's a process for dealing with threats to the U.S. like this. In the Constitution, the president could and should, in my opinion, go in front of Congress, lay out the threat, and ask for an AUMF authorization to use military force, since declarations of war have apparently gone out of style with people wearing fedoras. Right? If I were in Congress, I would likely vote with the president for that resolution. I think there's a real threat to the hemisphere from the Maduro regime, and we could likely topple it without too much effort. But if you do that, you will be putting at least U.S. airmen and sailors at risk, as well as probably putting Marines and soldiers on the ground. And that requires the approval of citizens of the U.S. through their representatives. And the reason that the Constitution requires congressional action is both because you never want one person making that decision ever, and because putting it in the hands of Congress puts it in the hands of the branch of the government closest to the people who will do the fighting and pay the bill, and that branch was designed to be the most accountable to the voters. And the issue that is, you know, for most important, for me at least, is the fact that on occasion you have to kill people. Look, I spent 20 years in the Navy. I'm not naive. But Phil Klein made some comments that really struck with me. There's something deeply disturbing when I see people celebrating that or being cartoonish about it. We kill because it's necessary. And yes, you get a hoorah when your mortars take out somebody shooting at you. And you, yes, we cheered the A-10 pilot who wags his wings after eliminating the rifle that's been harassing your team. But hearing this or that commentator saying that they not only want to kill these people, but they want them to suffer in the process, or to cheer and laugh at the video of these people getting killed, especially by people that likely haven't ever seen blood outside of a movie set and have no idea what they're talking about, is particularly disturbing to me. And St. Augustine said that, quote, "The real evils in war are love of violence, revengeful cruelty, fierce and implacable enmity, wild resistance, and the lust of power," end quote. And he's the same guy who wrote the Catholic rules of defining a just war. So he wasn't a pacifist. And yes, we fight and kill when necessary and should be willing to do so. I was and I am. But there damn well better be no joy in it, because if there is, we're losing our souls. And that's far more important than the rest of this BS that's going on, at least to me. So anyway, I hope the background's helpful for understanding those rules and where they apply and where they don't. And
well, I want you actually to hang on. I want you to hang on for through this break, because I want to ask you just a couple of questions that we've delved into with listeners and others. So do you have a few minutes for us?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
John Perillo, Monday Musings. We're going to take a break and be back with John, because I want to get his interpretation of a couple of issues that I had thought about and that we've discussed on this program. We'll be back. It's the Bob Cordaro Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Let's get back to John Perillo. John, thank you for hanging on there. So
no problem.
One of our listeners brought up the Geneva Convention, and right. I had said it is not applicable, number one, because it is not a war, number one, number two, these are not uniformed combatants.
That's and before we go, the gentleman who called in with his father, who was a World War II yeah. and a Pearl Harbor survivor, please give him my deepest honors and respect. I appreciate that. So Bob is absolutely correct. The Geneva Convention is only between the signatories of that treaty. And, you know, some narco-terrorist is clearly not a signatory of that treaty. And that's always been a problem, right? So when, you know, somebody takes a prisoner like they would do in Vietnam and they would torture them, which is clearly a violation of the Geneva Conventions, Vietnam would say, well, we didn't sign that. We're not a part of that. And so we were, and they weren't, and, you know, all those things that go with it. And I think you have to understand that there was a time, and I think, Bob, I'm going to get to this maybe in a later piece about, you know, the evolution of morality. There was a story that I think I want to relate. There was a British prisoner in a German POW camp whose mother was dying, and he petitions the German camp president to, hey, I need to go home to see my mom. I'm the last of her children. And he allows him to do this. This German officer allows him to do that on his word that he will return. He gets a parole, if you will. And this British officer travels to Great Britain visits his mom. His mom dies, and then he's heading back to Germany. And his friends are saying, "Well, why are you doing that?" He said, "Because I gave my word, and if I violate my word, then nobody else will ever get parole." So there was a time when these things were different than they are now, and so we have to keep things in mind a little bit.
All right, so let's get back now. The other issue, like going back to the Barbary Pirates, there was no declaration of war there. Jefferson just sent our people. Their success was widely exaggerated. But we've done these kinds of things, and is not tradition and precedent part of the legal backdrop for what Donald Trump is doing now?
Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, on the Barbary Pirates one, absolutely correct. However, the first six ships of the U.S. Navy were built precisely to fight the Barbary Pirates, which required Congress to appropriate what was then a huge sum of money. And every state representative understood precisely what that meant from a tax standpoint, because you had to raise the money to build these ships to go attack the pirates. They commissioned six. I think they only built four because they ran out of money. And Congress was part of that process to send these people over to essentially fight the slave trade, which was going on by the Barbary Pirates. So, as I said, there is a difference between a declaration of war and an authorization to use military force. And I agree, as Bob correctly said, presidents have routinely ignored this. And here we get into a measure, it's a measure of degree, right? While Trump does it worse than other presidents, I don't care. Right. The rules are, the Constitution is written in such a way that the president can react if the United States territory or its military are being attacked. The president has the absolute authority to respond to that. Absent an attack, then you have other rules that come into play, and that is the president can use force if he wants to, but then he has to report back to Congress within 30 days, and that came after Vietnam. We're well beyond
now,
30 days.
Once he declares them terrorists, undertaking terrorist action, is he not free to attack?
No. And the reason why is, if you think about that, it's a great question, by the way. If you remember, it took 10 years to prosecute the blind Sheikh Mohammed, who, by the way, is in a prison about 20 miles as the crow flies from my place. Right. You couldn't walk up to him, even though
you're only 20 miles from Florence.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. As a crow flies. So,
wow.
I'm armed all the time. So anyway, but you couldn't walk up to him on the street in New York and cap him. And the reason is that even though he's a terrorist, we are different in the United States. And it is not a war. And the rules of armed conflict do not apply. And there has to be a due process because he was in the United States. Right. There's a difference. And
yes,
so when President Obama
obviously.
Was.
What about this circumstance? Let's keep the subject.
Yeah. So think back to President Obama using drones. Now, the issue with that one was, one, he didn't have congressional authority. And two, he was killing a U.S. citizen abroad without due process. So clearly that was a violation of the law. And we can get into the whole discussion about why the press wasn't interested in him. And they
well,
are
we know why.
We get that. Right. But the problem is that there is no armed conflict. Right. So even if you just say that these people are terrorists or that there's a counterterrorism law, then you have that allows the executive branch great latitude in how they prosecute them, how they how they capture them, what they do about them. But it doesn't allow, the only thing that allows the executive to act on his own is the law of armed conflict, not the combatant's status as a terrorist.
Okay.
And again, I don't mean to be.
Now, it has not been challenged to date. It hasn't been challenged to date legally. It's been challenged politically.
Right, right. And I think that's another, that's a whole topic for another time.
I mean, it's not hard to find a left-wing judge to say he can't attack. You can find about 1,000 of them. Well, there aren't 1,000, but you can find about 500 Obama, Clinton appointees, Biden appointees to say this is illegal. How come that hasn't happened?
Well, I think a couple of things. Right. If we were to grant the administration's position that the drug cartels are foreign terrorist organizations, which I don't grant. But if we were to hypothetically grant it, right, you still can't use you can't attack them on the open seas because they're not part of an armed conflict, right? That's the law. Right now, I think the issue is that, in my mind, is that Congress has continuously abandoned its role in enforcing laws in the United States. The Congress could and should call a hearing, bring the people in front of it and say, what authority are you using here? Cut off funding, whatever it is they want to do. And for some reason, Congress just decides again and again and again to abdicate its responsibility. And not just in this particular case, but when Congress, for instance, says, you know, the administration shall, or the, you know, this mm-hmm. organization, this, you know, body shall come up with money to do X, Y, and Z. That's an abdication of their responsibility, right? The Constitution is
all
very
right, so
clear.
So bottom line, because we got to go. Bottom line,
yes.
John, you believe that the attacks on these drug boats are not lawful.
I believe that the attacks on the drug boats are not lawful. That's correct.
Okay. I differ with you on the opinion, but it's good to hear it. All right, my man. From yeah. some,
hey,
by the
you.
Way, you know what? Yeah. I really only care if someone disagrees, as long as they come from a normal place. You're not coming from insanity. You're coming from a completely different direction, and I get it, and I get your right. and I get your argument. So I appreciate that.
And thank you again. You're a listener. I don't have the wisdom. This is why I'm not the president of the United States, right? I understand the position he's in, and I don't take away from that. All I'm saying is that there are rules that we should follow, because the rules were put in place because sometimes your guy is the president, and sometimes your guy is not the president. And so by having consistent rules, that way, that then if a president acts in any direction, you go, well, at least he followed the rules, even if I disagree.
All right.
That's the purpose of all that. So thank you again to you and your listeners for the time, and I hope you guys have a great week.
All right. Thank you. John Perillo, Monday Musings, a different take.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.